Do I need that? I'm normally loud enough, aren't I? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good morning, church. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is good to be here with you once again. Thank you for having me and my fiance over there, Harvey. Today, I always have time with Sandra. With Sandra, we had to bang our heads together in a few hymns. That I struggle with hymns more than the service itself. So Sandra is always very helpful when it comes to that. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father God, we thank you, we honor you, we exalt you, we magnify your holy name, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Father, we surrender our all to you, knowing you're well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think and ask of you. We commit the service in your hands, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will speak to us as you see fit and meet each one of us at our very point of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And our first hymn this morning, our opening hymn, is I Will Enter His Gates. Shall we all rise up to our feet to sing together? Thank you. And our opening psalm today is Psalm 16. It is a psalm of David. Psalm 16, I won't read the whole chapter, I'll read from 1 to 8. It reads, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And finally, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. We come to our first reading, and this is coming from the book of 1 Samuel, and it's 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Pardon? What's that? Oh, I hope I'll be able to pronounce them. The names. I hope I'll be able to pronounce those names. Well, you will help me, won't you? We'll work together. So, 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse 1 to 10. The author of the book of 1 Samuel is unknown, but it was written sometime after 930 BC, before Christ. And it was written, the audience was the future generations of the Israelites, to exhort them to maintain supreme devotions to God even while being ruled by earthly kings. So sometimes it is important to get the background of the book before we indulge in it. I find that helpful in my personal study and my walk of faith. The birth of Samuel. 1 Samuel 1, and I'll read from 1 to 10. Excuse my pronunciations of the names. You'll excuse that. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zaphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeram, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Our second hymn this morning, "When I Look into Your Holiness." We'll rise up and sing together. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't it beautiful to know that the reason we are living is to worship the Lord, the maker of all things, the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. I like that. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. But he's everything in between. The joys, the sorrows, he's it all. He is. He says, when Moses says, who should I say sent me? He says, tell them I am has sent you. Because he's I am. He's anything and everything that we want him to be at any given time of our lives. Isn't that beautiful? When I need a healer, he's my healer. When I need a provider, he's my provider. When I need deliverance, he's my deliverer. When I need refuge, he is my refuge from the storms of this life. Now, however they present themselves, he is my refuge. Our God can be trusted is the title of my message this morning. Our God can be trusted is the title of my message to us this morning. Our God can be trusted. Our second reading is taken from the book of, Solomon in the book of Proverbs. Solomon is talking to us, and he says in Proverbs chapter number 3, 5 to 6, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I want, church, I want you to allow me to rephrase this a little bit and take out some of the pronouns and bring the name. And so I will do that. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and the Lord will make your path straight. Charity, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and the Lord will make your path straight. And our next reading is coming from the book of Mark. And in Mark chapter number 10 from verse 46 to 52, we find a man who is blind. And he's well known as blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, some call it. But he was known for his disability. They were calling him blind Bartimaeus. So I can imagine in those days, in that area, when they say, if they just say Bartimaeus, possibly it was a common name like John, maybe David or James. And if they just said Bartimaeus, people would have thought they're talking about Bartimaeus down the road or that. But he had to be known for his disability. Blind Bartimaeus. Sometimes we are labeled by that which is keeping us in bondage. And so was the issue with blind Bartimaeus. Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 10, and we'll read from verse 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." I can imagine that. It's your day. Where I come from in Malawi, there's a day when you say it's the last day of whatever has been troubling you or whatever things have been going on. On the last day, we say the 40th day has come. So this was the 40th day for blind Bartimaeus. So they say to him, "Cheer up, come. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Wow. How I wish I had that moment in this life. A moment with Jesus asking me, "Charity, what would you want me to do for you?" He asked him, the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. "Go, your faith has healed you." "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. Our third hymn this morning opened the eyes of my heart. Thank you. a song, a hymn that ministers to me a lot in my life. I once went through a very dark time of my life, very, very dark. Every day felt like I was in a nightmare, and I hoped that I would wake up and pinch myself and find that, whew, it was a bad nightmare. Everything's okay now. I can move on. Ever been there? Anyone? Can anyone relate? I wished it was a nightmare, but it was happening. Every morning I'd wake up and it was real. And this song, I came across this song, this hymn, this song, this chorus, if you want to call it. And it ministered to me so deeply. And I would sing it in tears every single day. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Lord. Because in that moment, I did not even believe. I didn't have the faith God was still there. Hello, somebody. I didn't even have the faith to believe God was still there. And that he still knew there was a charity in this world. And God came through in his faithfulness. And that is why I have entitled my message today, Our God Can Be Trusted. Because our God can be trusted, church. Whatever you're going through right now, I've brought a word of encouragement. Our God can be trusted. So there was another reading we were going to do, but in the interest of time, I've skipped that one. And it comes from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. And from verse number 1 to 9, I was going to read that. It's about King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And they were facing very threatening times at the time. And Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, brought all the people and declared a fast for the whole kingdom to pray and fast unto the Lord because of the challenge that was ahead of them. And when they did that, surely, then they sought the Lord and asked, are we going to win this? What is going to happen? They sought the Lord. There's something that is similar in all the scriptures that I've read to us this morning. Hannah, in bitterness of soul, the Bible says, she wept and cried to the Lord. She sought the Lord. King Jehoshaphat, I've just shared briefly. I would love for you to read it for yourselves. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. In your own time. Soak in there and read it and understand it for yourselves. When he was faced with challenging times, as a king of the land to the people of Judah, he brought them all together. The only solution he knew that would work was prayer and fasting. And he sought the Lord and prayed, declared a fast in the whole nation, and prayed and fasted and sought the Lord, and the Lord came through for them. Hannah, the Lord came through for Hannah. Hannah is the mother of Prophet Samuel in the Bible. She had Samuel that she had committed to give Samuel back to the Lord, and she did give Samuel to the temple of the Lord and worked side by side with Prophet Eli. And later on, the Lord blessed Hannah with 5 more kids. So in total, Hannah had 6 kids. If you go to the second chapter of the first Samuel, you'll find that Hannah had 6 kids. But because of her faithfulness to God, because her commitment to God, because she trusted in God and not man, despite everything she went through, the provocations from Penina and all the people of the land, they laughed at her, the shame, the reproach, but she trusted in God, and God came through for her. Okay, let's go to Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus.
He trusted in God. He heard Jesus was there. And he trusted. He knew, today is my day. He set it in himself. He said, he told his mind, his heart, everything within him. He said, this is my moment. And I will not let anything come in between. Today is my day. There comes a time, church, when after you've done all can be that can be done, after you've said all that can be said, after you've consulted all you can consult, you have to come and be intentional and make an informed decision to say, enough is enough. I know there is a God in heaven who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think and ask. I know there's a God in heaven who makes a way where there seems to be no way. And you begin to take scripture for what it is and not for fiction. So when you read the story of the children of Israel at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, you know that is real. That if God can make a way, he can make a way for whatever situation we are going through. I said to you, I come from Malawi. Maybe I've shared this before, but I'll share it again anyway. I grew up in a home where faith, we didn't have a choice. My mom did not give us a choice. We just had to believe in God. Yes? Well, I think this side, I find that the Western world is a bit different. There's no pressure like that. Where I come from, I seriously was pressured into trusting God. And I did. I had no choice. Because every morning, we're still, my mom was my Sunday school teacher. Did you get that? She was my Sunday school teacher, so Sunday, she's teaching me Bible. But every day in the house, every single day that I lived in that house, we read the Bible, we sang a hymn, and then she prayed for nearly an hour before we go to bed. Shoo! Ouch! As a young girl, ouch! It was intense. But we were used to it. That was routine for us. But it did something also. So my part of the world, if you eat rice and chicken, it is a special meal. All right? Rice and chicken, and usually it was cabbage or peas, you know, the vegetable. It's a special meal. So, and usually that would be on a Sunday. And you look forward to Sunday, you put your Sunday bests, and you go to church, and then when we were young, we wear socks and shoes, and we go to church, and then we come back, and the mom will be busy in the kitchen, and the smell of that food, you start singing when you're setting the table, you're singing, because it's just beautiful ambience, and it's just beautiful. And we're just the two of us, me and my sister. You've seen my sister. She's come sometimes. There's a conference at their church. She can't come today. And we'll be singing, we'll be pinching each other, but in happy mood because it's a beautiful day. But there were times when there was no food in my house. I grew up like that. Maybe none of you know what that means. But I grew up like that. There were times when there was absolutely no food. And I remember my mom saying, girls, come here. She was working. So every day means before she goes to work, she tells us what's going to be food for that day. And she'll say, girls, come here. And we run. And we're thinking she's giving order of the day of what's on the menu. And she says, there's no food today. Come, let us pray. Hello? Woman, are you crazy? There's no food today. Come, let us pray. No. Go and ask next door for some food. Don't tell me to pray. And she'll say, come, let us pray. And she'll make us kneel down. And she would kneel in the middle, and my sister that side, and I'm that side. And there were times, believe you me, I would lift up my head, and she would lift up her head, and we start poking each other on top of her back. I don't know how she felt it. One day she banged our heads together like that. And we thought God had told her. But you see, why I'm telling you this story is because I want you to see how much we believed in God, that we had no choice but to believe and trust in him. So we would pray, and off she goes. And sometimes we are on holiday, we are off school, like half term. So we are at home, and we are thinking, come on. But I remember on one day, when we prayed like that, and off she went, in confidence. And I'm thinking, maybe she'll send a driver from work, maybe she'll come back. No, off she went. Around, not before even 12 noon, one of her friends comes, a car is parked outside, and she says, oh, she lives in a different town. So let's say she lives in London, and she's just turned up unexpected. And she says, oh, I've been assigned to work here for a week. I'm in your town, I'm working here. I thought, let me pop in and see you. I'm thinking, this is a Tuesday, you're coming to see us. Mom, you know mom is at work. Oh, girls, you've grown. Da, 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 da. And then she says, come to the car. I've got some things for you. Come, you can get some things. And she's giving us vegetables. Because on the way between London and there are people who sell organic vegetables. They just stand by the road. So she stopped and bought those things for my house. So there's peas, there's cabbage, tomatoes, onions. And then she's bringing out another bag of chicken and rice. We had no choice but to trust in this God my mother told us about. That has stayed with me up until this day. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't always faith, trust, believe. There have been times when I strayed. I left the faith. I went into the world. I drank alcohol. I danced in nightclubs. I never smoked, I always say. But I strayed from the faith, and the Lord found me there and brought me back. In my thinking, if we're saying our God can be trusted, in my own words, not the dictionary, not the Google, trust is when you put your absolute belief in something. Trust is when you choose to put your absolute belief in something. I trust that you're well. I absolutely believe that you're well. I trust that my God will provide. I absolutely believe that my God will provide. I trust that my God will heal me. I absolutely believe my God can heal, and he will do it. When? I don't know. God will never reveal the time to us. God will never reveal the time to us. So there are three answers to expect when we pray, church. A yes, a no, and a wait. A yes, a no, and a wait. But it is in the waiting moments. It is when the answer is no. It is when, as a single person, you're dating someone, and then they break your heart and off they go, and you're thinking, Lord, I've been praying for this. And the Lord says, my answer is no. And that is why they had to go. But we don't understand. And we think the Lord has forgotten us. And we think the Lord is no longer remembering that there is so-and-so at Carey Baptist Church. Church, I want to encourage us. Like blind Bartimaeus, know it in your heart. Believe it in your heart. Trust in your heart. Have faith in your heart that God can do it, whatever it is that you're going through this day. About a year ago, one of the young people in my circle came to me and they were in their second year in university. And they said, I've come, I was sort of walking the journey with them, mentoring them, and if you will, and helping them out when the times were rough. And they had been connecting with me and telling me, I'm struggling there, and I would encourage them. What is the matter? Do you think you need extra help from the lecturers? And they would get that extra help. But this time they came to see me in person. They left university, they came to see me in person, and they said, I've come so you can help me. You can come with me to my parents' house and help me tell them that I can't do this anymore. They were in their second year. The first scripture that would come to my mind for every young person I have worked with, and I still do, is Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I will say to them freely, you can do all things through Christ. Say it with me. Come on, say it with me until it's cemented on your heart. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the second scripture I always give to young people when they're struggling with their academics, James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask from God, who gives without favoritism. I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not reading it. And he gives to all wisdom without finding favor in any. And those are the two scriptures I've always given to young people. But this young person, when they came, the scripture that came was Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. And I looked at them and I said to them, listen, you are going to finish your university and I am going to come to your graduation. I'm not coming with you to your parents to tell them you're leaving, because you're not. You're going to go back and you will finish and I will come to your graduation. But the scripture that was dropped in my spirit that day was Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. And they were sitting there looking at me, expecting to hear Philippians 4, 13 and James 1, 5. And I said to them, I'm hearing a scripture in my heart and I want us to read it together. And I got them to open their Bible on their phone. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and he will make your paths straight. Easier said than done. I know, I've been there. But trust me, if you make an informed decision within yourself, within myself, the moment I decided, because I was very skeptical about this God thing, you see? And it kept me in bondage for the longest time. And I was in bondage for the longest time. But the moment I made that informed decision to drop the doubt, to say, okay, listen, Lord, if you are real, if everything they have told me, if what they have taught me is real, prove yourself. A bit like Gideon in Judges chapter number 6. Gideon, read the story of Gideon, Judges chapter number 6. Prove yourself to me, show me, give me a sign. I kind of think God is still in the business of proving that he can be trusted. I think God is still in the business of healing. God is still in the business of performing miracles. But it is you and I that have put a stumbling block between our receiving from God, in that we are thinking so much, we analyze the situation. There's so much information available online, through social media. There's so much information that is actually harmful to us than helpful sometimes. I work in the care industry, and I have done so for many years. There's a group of people that are so difficult to look after in the care sector. And these are retired doctors. Sorry, if you are here. Retired doctors, retired nurses. Yes, yes. Retired care workers. The knowledge they have is harmful. The knowledge they have actually blocks the trust between them and the caregivers. So I would walk back in the days when I was in the field, I would walk in the room and they would tell me things that I don't even know. And then if I go and I've read, and in fact, in handover, we'd be warned and we'll be told room number 32 is a retired doctor, so brace yourselves. You know? And we'll go there and find them, and they have so much information that you feel like a little mouse somewhere, and you're thinking, what can I possibly share to encourage this one or to do that is acceptable? Because they have so much knowledge. Sometimes the knowledge we have is harmful. Church, believe you me, sometimes the knowledge we need, in fact, at all times, is in the manual of life. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, Joshua was told, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And only then are you going to be successful. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night for your life to be successful. What is success? In this day and age, success, people are putting into cars, clothes, the house I live in. I don't think so. For me, success is possessing wisdom. For me, success is having peace of mind. For me, success is being joyful at all times. For me, success is being grateful to God for the breath of life in me each and every day that I wake up. Church, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Charity, but you don't know what I'm going through. I can stand here and tell you what I'm telling you right now, and you don't know what I'm going through right now, the challenges in my life. But I choose to trust in God with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm choosing to acknowledge the Lord, and I know he will make my path straight. Sooner or later, in his own way, in his own time, he will make my path straight. Blind Bartimaeus, I like in verse 51, Jesus is specific. He says, what do you want me to do for you? He knew what he wanted. He's not going around. He's not beating about the bush. He's not saying, but it's my cousin. It's my family is like this. No. I want to see. Rabbi, I want to see. Know what you want. Be specific in what you want. When we go to him, let's be specific. There was a time I was struggling so much in work. And every information they were giving me, my brain has always been like sharp. I'm not in a conceited way or in a pride way. Don't get me wrong, and don't get distracted. Stay with me, don't lose me. My brain has always been sharp to retain information. Okay? But at this point in work, I was struggling so much that every information that was coming, I felt it was leaving through the other side. It was coming through there and leaving. And I was struggling and I was asking myself, I would go in a meeting and I had to have a piece of pen and paper, even in a facial meeting, in-person meeting, not just on Zoom. I'll be writing down word for word of what they are saying because I was losing all the information. And I knew something was wrong somewhere. I listened to one preacher preaching, and he was sharing about how sometimes the enemy would steal our minds. And I remember praying that day and saying to the Lord, I want my mind back. I find my mind is gone. This is not my mind that you've given me. Remember, the Bible says, He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and the sound mind of Christ. The sound mind of Christ is filled with wisdom. The sound mind of Christ is filled with knowledge. The sound mind of Christ is filled with understanding. And if I possess the three, the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding, I shouldn't have to drop a pen of everything they're telling me in a meeting. And so last week I had to face this meeting in my work that is so challenging. Every time I do that review meeting, I dread it when they send the message that it's coming. And my manager knows how I'll go to her and say, oh no, it's that meeting again. Are you attending? No, I'm not, Charity, you are. And I was dreading that meeting. And I have to drive about a 30-minute drive to get to that meeting. And I remember last week, I tried to make excuses. The enemy was telling me, maybe you should just call in sick and they'll find somebody else to go. But I said, I can't lie. I'm not going to call sickness on me when I'm okay. I won't do that. And I got in the car going to the meeting. I tried to find every excuse through the day. The meeting was at 4:00 and I was pushing and pushing. And she kept saying, you are going. I got in the car and I was driving. And I remember saying to the Lord, Father, I am terrified. I can't face those people and what they do to me in every meeting I attend. And I started praying. And so I drove the car praying and saying, Lord, give me what to say, when to say, and how to say it. That they will understand the amount of work we have invested in this package. That it's not just about the money, but we have gone above and beyond to meet the expectations on paper. As I was driving, I was reminded again of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and Charity, lean not on your own understanding. Just acknowledge the Lord right now as you go, and He will make this meeting straight for you. And I got there, and it was the most amazing meeting I've ever had with this team of professionals. I've received even some lovely feedback that I have read and cried from those meetings, from that meeting. For the first time I've worked with them for 3 years. It was the best meeting ever, where they just really gave us all the praise. I wasn't looking for the praise, but they just kept acknowledging the work that we have invested in there. If I had cowered away and called in sick when I'm not sick, I probably would have gotten sick. But my point here is, when we choose to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, depending on whatever situation we're in, our God can be trusted. Church, today when you go, I want you to think of, even right now, I want you to take time to think of the one thing, for me it's not one, there are a few things that seem challenging in my life right now. There are quite a number of things, trust me. But I want us to think on that thing, on those things, and bring them to the Lord as we sing this fourth hymn. And let's sing it with a heart that is saying, I surrender all. I surrender all. As we sing this, I surrender all, let us surrender those things that we have been carrying. Let us take them back to the Lord prayerfully and say, Lord, I surrender my sickness. Lord, I surrender my children. Lord, I surrender my finances. Lord, I surrender my marriage. Lord, I surrender my loneliness. Lord, I surrender my all to you. Lord, I surrender. Seth, I surrender all my assignments. Yeah? I surrender everything ahead of me in my academics, my friendships. I surrender all my associations. I surrender all is our fourth hymn. Shall we rise up and sing together, please? May take our seats. And if you're here today and you're saying, Charity, I've heard you, I've heard what you said, but I don't have that relationship with this God that you're talking about, this Jesus, like you're talking about. I was once there. Trust me, I was there. I've shared with you. And I, you know, when God delivers you from that thing, you're no longer ashamed from or about it. And that's how I freely will share with you that I did stray. I went out there. I did all the wrong things. But God kept me and saw me and took me back just as I was. And you're here today, you're thinking, but you don't know my story. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. But God knows. He knows everything. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. Jeremiah 1:5. He knew you. He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And he's saying today, if you're here today, come. Let us reason together. Though your sins are as red as scarlet, I will make you as white as snow. Come, let us reason together. That's what he's saying. So if you're here today, Charity, I've been coming to church every Sunday for the past 80 years. I met one lady. I preached somewhere, and a lady came to me and said, Charity, I've been in this church for over 80 years. And you are the second person. She said, I was born in this church. I was baptized in this church. I met my husband in this church. I got married in this church. We buried my husband in this church. But it's the second time I'm hearing someone preaching and asking us to give our lives to God. I need to give my life to God. I'm not going to be selfish because I know what I found in Jesus is worth having. So if you're here today and you feel you need to give your life to Christ, let us close our eyes and say this prayer meaningfully. Repeat after me. Let us close our eyes. We're not going to make you stand up. We're not going to ask you to put your hand up. But we want you within your heart to say, I'm making an informed decision right now, executive decision rather, to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Maybe I have been a Christian, but I have strayed, and I want a new chapter, a fresh start. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I ask you this day to come into my heart and to forgive me of all my sins, and to create in me a clean heart, and to renew the right spirit within me. Father, I ask this day that you will write my name in the book of life. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit to guide me, to lead me, and to direct me in your way everlasting. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And we'll straight away go into a prayer of intercession. Father, we thank you for the times we have and the freedom of worship in this land, that we can freely come to you and gather together in one accord, in unity, to worship you. Thank you for the buildings that we have where we have free access to come and worship you. Thank you for the breath of life in each and every one of us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will take full control of our well-being, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, and our souls. We surrender our all to you, our challenges, and the good times also. We surrender every report, a medical report, every medical report we have received. We surrender the difficulties, the challenges we are facing within our family institutions. We surrender every challenge we are facing in the workplaces, in the colleges, in the universities, in our neighborhood, in our communities, and in this country as a whole. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you come through for us and show yourself faithful once again. Your word says in Psalm 18, 25 to 26, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Show yourself faithful to us, Lord, as we seek you with all our hearts and we choose to lean not on our own understanding. Reveal yourself to us. May we know you as our Father who art in heaven. May we know you as our shepherd and that we shall not want. Reveal yourself to us as our healer. Reveal yourself to us as our provider, our deliverer. The God who brings change. The God who brings healing, deliverance, and freedom. Reveal yourself to us once more. We pray, Heavenly Father, in our midst, if there's anyone who is unwell, that you will stretch forth your healing hand, Lord, and touch them and amaze them with your healing oil from the top of their heads to the tip of our toes. We pray right now, Lord, for the world at large, for the people who are sick, who are in hunger, in poverty, in the war-torn countries, people in prisons and detention centers. We pray for people in authority, that, Lord, they will lead your people in their best interests. We come against every selfish ambition, every pride that diverts the purpose of the offices they're serving in, the ministers, the MPs, the mayors, the lords, the baronesses. We bring them before you, the king. We bring them before you, Lord, the prime minister and all the leaders of this world. We commit to you those that are doing work, that is the work that needs empathy, that needs compassion, the doctors, the nurses, the teachers, the lecturers, the police, the army. Lord, meet them at their point of need. Grant them enough grace to sustain them even when the times are rough. We pray for the youth of this world today. We commit them in your hands with all the challenges they're facing. Father, guide them. Bring people aside to walk side by side with them, to teach them the truth in love. We pray for marriages of this day. Bind them together with cords no man can break. May people choose to resolve issues and not to run for divorce. We pray, Heavenly Father, for rebellious children. Show them your way. And may your light shine on them that they may see your way. We pray for the church at large. Lord, we commit the church, that the church will bring the gospel of truth to your people. The church will be a sanctuary where people run to and know they'll get the help they need. We ask for your forgiveness where the church has deviated from its purpose. Forgive us, Lord, and bring us back in shape. We pray for all the Christian calendar, all the things that are coming up, that, Lord, you'll be in our midst. We pray for the meeting coming up after church today, that you'll be in their midst, Lord, at the center of it all. We give you the glory, Father. We give you the honor. We exalt you. We magnify your holy name. As we part, we pray, Heavenly Father, for Jenny Mercy's wherever we are going. As we commit to you, widows, orphans, refugees, people out there that need you, meet them at their point of need. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen, church. Sorry, I lost you. Was that prayer as long as my mother's? No, it wasn't. Our fifth hymn today is When We Walk With The Lord. Let's rise up and sing together. That's our last hymn for the service. when we walk with the Lord.
Most of the times when I was growing up, when my mom would be doing her house chores, she would be singing that one, Trust and Obey. And this brings us to our time of the grace. Shall we say the grace together, church?
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.